Hi, I'm Willow Belden, and you're listening to Out There, the podcast that explores big questions through intimate stories in the outdoors. Before we get started, I wanted to let you know that we're releasing a bonus episode this Saturday in honor of Earth Day. It's a story about a trip down the Bronx River in New York City. On the surface, it's a story about the adventures of two men as they attempt to paddle parts of a river that nobody paddles. But it's also more than that. It's a beautiful social and environmental portrait of the waterway, a story that shows us just how much a river can show us about our society. I hope you'll tune in for that. Again, that's coming up this Saturday. Also, some great news. Last week, Out There won two awards from the Rocky Mountain chapter of the Society of Professional Journalists. We won second place for science reporting and third place for general broadcast excellence. The science story was the episode called From the Horns of Beetles, which is about animal weapons, you know, horns and tusks and claws and things like that. And it's about the surprising parallels that those weapons have to human warfare. If you didn't catch it, go back and check it out. Okay, so on to today's episode. We've gotten a lot of new listeners in the past few months, which is wonderful. And because of that, we'd like to play you a story that some of you may have missed. It ran back in 2015 when the show was still very new, and it won a big national award last year. So we thought you should hear it. The story is about a mountain bike race near my home in Wyoming. It's 70 miles long, all on trails and dirt roads, with almost 9,000 feet of elevation gain, which, on a scale of 1 to epic, is pretty epic. The race is called the Enduro, and in 2015, I made the mistake of signing up. This is the story of what happened. It's a story about trying to prove yourself, about pushing limits, about testing what you're capable of, and ultimately, it's about how forcing yourself to succeed can end up being its own kind of failure. The first time I heard about the Enduro, I was out for a drink with some friends, and there was this guy at our table who kept talking about a bike race, a really long, really hard mountain bike race. This guy described the race as a sufferfest. That's actually the term he used, sufferfest. But in the same breath, he also said it was super fun and that I should try it someday. Now, I love cycling, but a sufferfest did not sound fun. And yet, the place I live, Laramie, Wyoming, is aggressively outdoorsy. I'm surrounded by people who do epic things, whether it's skiing or biking or climbing or running. Herculean challenges are the norm around here.
If you're a mountain biker in Laramie, you have to do the Enduro ones. It's just an unstated rule.
That's Cynthia DeWan. She's a mountain biker extraordinaire. She's ridden the entire Continental Divide, all the way from Canada to Mexico, and she's done the Enduro several times. And what she said is kind of true. If you're part of Laramie's tight-knit mountain biking community, it's just expected that you'll do the Enduro. And so, this year, I caved. I was nervous, but I told myself the race could be fun. After all, I enjoyed challenges, enjoyed seeing how far I could push myself. I'd done an Olympic-length triathlon, a half marathon on cross-country skis, even a 500-mile backpacking trip. Those were big athletic endeavors, and yes, they were hard, but they were also some of the best things I've ever done for myself. They left me feeling exhilarated and fulfilled and ready to take life by the horns. They brought out the best in me. And so, I told myself, the Enduro could be fun too. At the very least, it would feel good to have done it. So I signed up. Let's be clear, I had no ambitions about winning. I simply wanted to finish. And yet, even that goal was a stretch. I was relatively new to mountain biking. The longest I'd ever ridden was 15 miles, and I wasn't fast. But I made a training plan for myself and resolved to spend every free moment on my bike. To give you a sense of how that went, well, I'll let you listen to some thoughts I recorded while I was out on training rides.
I am so tired. I like just don't want to keep going. This ride kicked my ass. And my back hurts and my knee hurts. And I am just stiff and sore and tired and hungry and exhausted. Holy f***.
Okay, you get the picture. It felt like as hard as I pushed myself, it was never enough. I was biking 5 days a week, and one of those days was always a really long ride, something that lasted hours, or even all day. And yet, I kept falling short of my mileage goals. Even when I did ride enough miles, it was painfully slow and exhausting. I began to wonder if I could actually pull this off. Riding 70 miles on my mountain bike was starting to seem impossible. Maybe I just wasn't cut out for this. That sense of inadequacy was toxic. I used to love riding my bike. It was what I did to unwind. But now it had become a chore, an item on my to-do list, something I resented. Training for this race had sucked the joy out of my passion. And worst of all, it was keeping me from doing other things I wanted to do, things like hiking and kayaking. I canceled plans with friends and told my family I couldn't join them for a vacation. All I had time for was riding my bike. It was miserable. And yet, with steely determination, I stuck to the schedule. One day in June, when I was feeling particularly low, a friend of mine suggested that I quit. "Just don't do the enduro," she said. "Just because you signed up doesn't mean you have to do it." Giving up had never occurred to me, but now that someone else suggested it, it suddenly seemed like a viable option, a good option. And so I stopped training. It was such a relief. But then this nagging sense of failure started creeping into my thoughts. I don't like being a quitter. In fact, I pride myself on finishing the things I start. Backing out on the enduro felt like defeat. I needed to prove that I could do it, that I could accomplish this goal I'd set for myself. I wanted to show that I had just as much mettle as all my hardcore mountain biking friends. And so I decided to give it another go. A few weeks before the race, I got some advice from friends who had done the enduro before. One of them was Cynthia Dewan, who you heard earlier. The other was my friend Evan O'Toole. They're both excellent cyclists, and they tried their best to cheer me up.
I would say, barring a mechanical failure, I bet you'll finish.
I think that you have the tenacity and mental strength to make it to the end.
And yet, their encouragement wasn't altogether encouraging.
Like, it's gonna be terrible for certain parts. You're gonna go through certain parts of the day and just be mad and just think, this is so stupid. Why am I doing this?
And in fact, Evan told me the race is so hard that it brings him to tears. Literally, he starts crying two-thirds of the way through the race when he sees his wife cheering him on.
It's so, like, mentally and psychologically draining, I think, that just to see her, and I'm just like, oh, I feel so bad, and there she is, and I love her so much. You can't help it.
You might have heard Evan's toddler making noise in the background there. We asked for her input as well.
Can you tell Willow what you think about the enduro?
Fast forward to race morning. Hundreds of cyclists are gathered in a gravel parking area. Most of them are wearing fancy skin-tight bike clothes with ads from their sponsors. Many of them have ridiculously high-end bikes. All of them, I'm sure, are stronger riders than I am. I shiver from the morning chill, and if I'm being honest, from dread.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Okay, so the first part of the race was actually pretty good. A few miles in, I started to feel a sense of exhilaration. I'm doing the enduro, I thought to myself. I'm really doing it. It felt so badass. When I rolled into the first aid station, where you can get food and water, two of my friends were there cheering.
Whee! Look at that smile.
How you doing?
Good. Do you need some water? What do you need?
I also, because I'm a mom, I brought you applesauce in case nothing here looked good.
Whoa, it's baby applesauce.
Toddler.
How's it going?
I got toddler applesauce.
Let's get it right.
How do you eat this?
Suck on it. Oh. Please put that on your episode.
I feel like I'm on top of the world right now. I am gonna take this race by storm. Oh yeah.
Okay, so the course does get harder. I end up having to plow my way through murky swamps and slog up steep hills. In true Wyoming style, there are cattle grazing all over the course, and cow poop splashes up onto my Gatorade bottle. My bike starts making weird noises. My legs get tired.
But this wasn't nearly as bad as I was imagining.
When I rolled into the fourth aid station, more friends were there to cheer me on. Woo! Someone told me I'd done 52 miles at this point.
52?
Yeah.
52! I've never
That's
ridden
the most you've ever done.
I've never ridden 52 miles on my mountain bike.
And you did it, and you're smiling, and you're only Here. A little covered in cat poop.
You are so close. You're almost done.
No, but it's like all uphill from here, and it's all uphill on really difficult trails.
Still, they remind me, I only have 18 miles left to go.
18? I could do 18. Not after doing 52.
So, at this point, I'm pretty confident I'll finish. But then, the route gets steeper. It winds through gnarly hills of sagebrush, past red granite cliffs. I skid over sharp rocks, and my tires spin in the loose pebbles as I fight my way up punishingly steep climbs. Every few minutes, I have to get off my bike and push it. The weather isn't helping. This is the high desert, and the trail is completely exposed to the screaming August sun. Heat seems to radiate from every direction. My head starts to hurt, badly. I've been drinking a lot of water and Gatorade, but I still feel dehydrated. Nauseous, even.
Oh my gosh. I've been biking for more than 8 hours. Pretty f***ed up.
And then I look at my watch. It's 3:34 p.m. The next and final aid station closes in less than an hour. If I don't get there before then, they won't let me finish the race. All of a sudden, a huge wave of anger wells up inside me. I can't miss this cutoff, not after I've come this close. And so I muster all the energy I no longer have and push myself to go faster. I make it to the aid station 4 minutes before the cutoff. I'm too nauseous to eat anything, and I barely manage to gulp down some Gatorade. The aid station volunteers tell me I have 15 seconds to leave if I want to keep going with the race. I start riding again. As I walk my bike up the last brutal hill, I can barely feel my legs. My left butt cheek feels like it's covered in blisters. My head is pounding, and I'm dazed and confused. This is a trail that I've biked many times before, but somehow it doesn't look familiar. I wonder, fleetingly, whether I'm starting to hallucinate.
I think I'm past the point of being tired. And when you get past being tired, you become a zombie, I think. That's how it works, right?
There are only a few other stragglers left on the course now. We're all exhausted. We're all suffering. And yet, we all have a grim determination to finish. Finally, I reach the home stretch, a beautiful, long downhill. I glide down it exuberantly, and when I cross the finish line, I'm grinning from ear to ear.
Thank you!
I saved you a beer.
Aww, thank you!
Willa Belden, congratulations!
Da-da-da-da. Cheers! Oh man, this beer is amazing.
So, thank you. Are you mad? Are you, how do you feel?
Dazed. Yeah. But I'm done.
Yeah.
Now I've done it. Now I don't have to do it ever again.
A few days after the Enduro, a colleague of mine asked how it went. I told him I finished, he congratulated me, and then he asked whether it was fulfilling. It was a good question. No, I realized. It was not fulfilling. I was relieved that the race was done, but I wasn't exhilarated by the experience. I didn't feel like I'd done something wonderful. I just felt tired and drained. At first, that made no sense to me. I'd met my goal, accomplished something big. So why the gloom? But in hindsight, I realized what was going on. The problem was, I was doing the Enduro for all the wrong reasons. I was doing it to fit in, to be part of the club. I wanted to be that girl who's game for everything, wanted to maintain my identity as adventurous and strong and capable. Wanted to succeed at the things my peers succeeded at. And so I was pushing myself to my limits over and over. I was doing this race to meet the expectations of my tribe. We've all done this before, taken a job because our parents wanted us to, or gone to grad school because it sounds good at all the family parties. We want to fit in, and so we do things that we think will make people respect us and see us the way we want to be seen. A lot of times, that doesn't feel so good. And so, after the Enduro, even though friends and family congratulated me profusely, I felt hollow. Felt like I'd wasted a precious summer on something I didn't really want. Since the race, several friends have suggested that I do it again. No, I've told them, once is enough. They tell me I'll change my mind, that I'll start wondering how much faster I could do it the next time. And they're right, I do wonder. But I've learned an important lesson. Succeeding at something doesn't make it worth doing. Just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. And so, if I do the Enduro again, or any other difficult endeavor, I'll be doing it for different reasons. From now on, I won't take on athletic challenges just to prove that I'm not a wuss. From now on, I'll be doing things because I want to do them. Because they're exciting and invigorating. Because my heart is in them. I'll be doing them for me. This story was edited by Lee Patterson. She also helped out with recording and support on Race Day, along with Emily Guzman, Annie Wislowski, Aaron Jones, Nanette Nelson, Corrine Zalasco, Case Button, and Caroline Ballard. Coming up on our next episode...
It's a ridiculous idea. We plan to paddle the entire 24 miles of the Bronx River, top to bottom, in 2 days. It's so ridiculous that there is no evidence of anyone even talking about doing it, let alone attempting it.
Tune in for that story on our special Earth Day episode this Saturday. Before we wrap up, Mother's Day is coming up next month. To celebrate, we're collecting stories about the ways our mothers have shaped or are shaping our relationship with the outdoors. And we want to hear from you. If you have a story about something your mom did that had a big impact on the way you interact with nature, or if you yourself are a mother and you've done something you think has had an impact on your own kids' relationship with the outdoors, give us a call and tell us about it. We may play some of your comments on the show, and if you've got a really good story, we might even invite you to be a guest on a future episode. So if you want to get in on the fun, here's what you should do. Give us a call at 800-599-2598. Leave a message and tell us a little bit about your story. And let us know how best to reach you in case we want to follow up. Again, that number is 800-599-2598. We'll have the number on our website as well in case you can't write it down right now. A big thank you to Thomas Lee, Edward Krakmalnikov, Katrine Waterman, and Deb and Vince Garcia for their financial contributions to Out There. If you're enjoying the show, we'd love for you to follow their lead. The stories we run typically take months to put together. Literally, months. And we can't pay freelancers anywhere near what they deserve. For what it's worth, Alex and I don't get paid at all. Gifts from listeners in any amount make a huge difference. So if you like the show, consider making a contribution. Just go to outthereshow.com and click support. We also have Out There t-shirts and hoodies for sale on our website, and we just added some beautiful decals as well. When you buy any of those items, you're helping pay for the stories you hear on this show. That's it for this episode. Our marketing and business development director is Alex Egerking, and our theme music was written by Jared Arnold. Have a beautiful day, be bold, go outside, and find your dreams.